This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars, episode number 2, was recorded on May 13th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. We've made a slight change to the format for Macro Voices All-Stars. We're going to release each interview as its own separate episode. So this episode will be exclusively our good friend Luke Grohman, founder of Forest Through the Trees, and we'll have our other All-Stars guests in separate episodes coming up each day of the week. Luke, let's go ahead and dive right into it. Obviously, as we're speaking on Monday, the big story of the week is the escalation of the trade war between the U.S. and China. Suddenly, it seems like all of the negotiations are falling apart. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, hi, Eric. Thanks again for having me on. I was surprised by the reversal, quite frankly. And given, you know, Mnuchin said we were 90% done on a deal last week, and you know, given that he had said 3 or 4 weeks prior that the currency portion of a trade deal was entirely done at that point, and so it had seemed like markets were discounting an FX deal that Mnuchin had said was done. And so it looks like we were obviously not the only ones surprised by that. So we're not surprised that markets are not taking it well. But, you know, it's hard to overstate how ugly it could be if things are allowed to devolve chaotically from this point. And at this point, I'm still not convinced that this isn't all just kabuki theater to get people panicked enough to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, which is, you know, to our view is a weaker dollar against the yuan, and then some adjustments or allowance for the Saudis to sell oil and other oil producers to sell oil to China in yuan. But we're going to have to see on that front.
When you say things could get really ugly, you said you can't understate how ugly they could get. What specifically do you mean? What metrics are you looking at?
Well, for example, we wrote a report for our customers back in February noting that if U.S. corporate profits as a percent of GDP simply returned to the long-term range that they had existed in for decades prior to China going into the WTO, just to move back into that long-term range would necessitate a 30 to 60% drop in corporate profits as a percent of GDP. So when you sort of factor that in and then factor in corporate debt at all-time highs and the quality of corporate debt at all-time lows as measured, as we're looking at it, as the percentage of corporate debt outstanding that is just one downgrade from junk, you could see this very easily drive a breakdown in credit markets, corporate credit markets. And if that were to happen, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say it would drive an outright crash in equities, probably in excess of that 30 to 60% decline in corporate profits as a percent of GDP, just given the leverage involved. You know, importantly, virtually none of that record high corporate debt and record low quality of corporate debt was taken on in expectation of a chaotic trade war between the U.S. and China. And so if it lasts long, I'd expect corporate spreads to start to widen. And eventually, I think you'd start to see a default cycle on the U.S. corporate side. And given the leverage in the system, stocks could fall by more than they did in 2008, 2009. And so basically, if this breaks down chaotically, global markets could fall really far, really fast. And that's a problem.
Wow, bigger than 2008, 2009. That's a pretty ugly scenario. Is that the worst case?
You know, frighteningly, it's not. The last time something like this happened, you know, I've seen people saying, well, this is like Japan and China, and it's not because, you know, to simplify, we have troops in Japan and we don't have troops in China. It's a different scenario on a number of different facets. The most similar scenario that we have found in our research has been the UK and Germany from 1875 to 1914. And of course, that led to war, World War I, financial assets and global trade as a percent of GDP fell for 20 straight years, basically every year. And the real value of industrial national sovereign debt ultimately fell by 60 to 100% on a real basis over the span of 10 to 12 years. So you had the US, UK, Germany, Japan, France, Russia, all of them basically had the real value of their sovereign debt fall between 60 and 100%. And there's a couple hyperinflations in there. So I'm optimistic it doesn't need to get that bad, but look, I'm cognizant that it could if it's mismanaged. And, you know, the challenge is that scenario is basically uninvestable.
Luke, how do you think this is going to play out this time? I mean, are you personally de-risking as a result of this, or are we still just at the scare phase now?
You know, I remain overweight gold. I've actually been adding to some Bitcoin, but both of those hedge both a chaotic outcome and a non-chaotic outcome, where there's a resolution to the currency system that we ultimately still think is going to be the outcome, where the dollar's importance or weighting is you know, reduced to more in line with its economic outcome. But I'm still a better buyer of risk assets on big dips like this.
A buyer. So why is that, given the scenario you just laid out? Sounded pretty scary.
Yeah, you know, it is a little counterintuitive, and it's not something I feel incredibly comfortable with, but a lot of times that's work, you know, when I have an idea that doesn't make me feel necessarily comfortable, those are sometimes the best ideas. But the reason is because there already were numerous symptoms that a U.S. fiscal crisis was already emerging much faster than we had anticipated. And we originally thought that second half 2020, early 2021 at the latest, was when you would start to see a U.S. fiscal crisis where, you know, when we say that, that's when the Fed would have to basically start monetizing U.S. deficits in ever-growing amounts to make the numbers work. And importantly, that was assuming no crises anywhere. You know, the 4Q18 sell-off that we saw globally brought things forward. And now this trade war is only going to accelerate things even faster. And so I think the Fed's going to be forced to cut and then begin expanding their balance sheet, basically moving towards outright monetization of what will be rapidly growing U.S. fiscal deficits far sooner than anybody thinks. And I found that it's really underappreciated that the U.S. needs to roll $11 trillion in treasuries this year. And that's a gross number, but that's up from $10 trillion last year. And it was only in October that FX hedged treasury yields went negative, which basically meant that the foreign private sector effectively started getting paid not to roll their treasury holdings. And so, you know, some of these, you know, and you've seen this, but some of these foreign private sector investors can buy treasuries unhedged, but no one's going to take $11 trillion worth of FX risk, which is effectively $11 trillion in career and mandate risk. You can go unhedged around the edges on the margin, but you're not going to roll $11 trillion unhedged. And so, you know, the bottom line is the Fed's likely going to have to monetize U.S. deficits far sooner than most people realize. And so, to tie back to the earlier point, is I want to make sure I still have risk assets, own risk assets ahead of that, because when the Fed's forced to renew QE into a good economy, you know, risk assets are likely to behave like Bitcoin has in the past month, which is up a lot really fast. And as you know, that's hard to chase after it gets going.
Okay, so who has more power and leverage in this negotiation at this point, the U.S. or China?
You know, I'm not sure. I could make a decent case either way, but the one thing I'm comfortable saying is that China does have far more leverage than most pundits are saying. Everywhere I see, it seems like it's all, you know, we've got all the leverage and they don't. And for example, something I've not seen anybody talking about is, you know, China could put severe pressure on the U.S. shale sector in very short order if it wants to.
And how would it do that?
Well, if it starts more aggressively shifting oil imports to yuan or mandating that, then all of a sudden, you know, that shifts the key swing factor to oil pricing to the yuan dollar cross rate. And of course, the yuan dollar cross rate is falling. So now all of a sudden, you're in a situation where as the yuan falls, oil will fall in dollar terms. And so all of a sudden, if you get yuan falling chaotically, oil prices in dollars will plummet. And then all of a sudden, we're right back to late 2014, early 2015 for U.S. shale. That'll weigh on U.S. ISM, et cetera. So there's, you know, that's just one example of a number of other sort of nonlinear asymmetric responses China could do that most pundits just aren't considering. But to me, it keeps tying back to the initial point, which is that in the end, the key is that there's unlikely to be any winners from this if it gets chaotic.
Well, Luke, thanks so much for joining us on All Stars today. We really look forward to getting you back in a week or two. Folks, you can expect to hear an All Stars interview pretty much every day if we don't have other content coming out on Macro Voices. We'll try to get at least something released every day. And again, we are going to be releasing All Stars from here forward with a single interview per mini episode. Continue to stay tuned to your Macro Voices feed for more. For Macro Voices Premium, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Macro Voices is made possible by sponsorship from BigPictureTrading.com, the Internet's premier source of online education for traders. Please visit BigPictureTrading.com for more information. Please register your free account at MacroVoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly Research Roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free listener discussion forums and research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. You can email questions for the program to mailbag@macrovoices.com. And we'll answer your questions on the air from time to time in our mailbag segment. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts Eric Townsend and Patrick Ceresna shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices. Macro Voices is made possible by sponsorship from BigPictureTrading.com and by funding from Fourth Turning Capital Management, LLC. For more information, visit MacroVoices.com.